The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Dude?
How? I'm in a factory. This shit is all fucking concrete. Nah.
I told you to move into a factory, dude.
You know what? I'm recording right now.
Good. God in your factory you're recording?
Yeah, dude. I'm recording all these fucking pipes everywhere. Oh. Yeah. I know. We got a very Microsoft-centric episode here.
Yeah, I bet you you're happy, huh?
I mean, we'll see how it fucking actually turns out. We've seen them buy developers before, you know? Oh. It's just buying a pretty big one. How are we doing? We good to go?
Got a big one you can buy right here, Dingleberry.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Dude, that shit is fucking surplus sales rack right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bargain bin.
Mm-hmm. Part in the bargain bin.
Boy.
All right. Ready?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
Hello. Let's get James some food. Someone bring him some food. And welcome to the NPC podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there.
Podcasts.
How many of them were saved by inanimate carbon rod, though? Huh? And Rod, we trust. Anyways, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me is James Brizuela.
I love being on podcasts.
Podcasts are great. And of course, Alex Cordova is another podcaster that was joining us today.
Sweating my you-know-what off. Mm-hmm. Woof!
I'm feeling you. Yeah, we're in the middle of a fucking heat wave. And so is, I guess, Sony's legal team, because Jesus, they got rocked. Anyways, and the FTC, actually, mostly. Well, shall we get into it? And who wants to kick off with the very, very important...
I will say the breaking news.
Breaking news,
hopefully it's still up when this episode launches. But if not, go get a time machine, go back in time to today, July 18th, and Street Fighter, the movie, the cult classic, if I may even be as controversial as saying, is free on Tubi to watch. So if you guys want to see the greatest video game movie ever made by mankind, Go watch that. Oh, yeah, and you think I'm being sarcastic, I'm not.
Mm-mm, that's Van Damme time, baby. Right there.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding, yeah.
R.I.P. Raul Julia, let's I wanted
to
go.
I wanted to come in like Ron Burgundy, but like, I have a very important announcement.
I should have fucking done it. Oh,
everybody!
Street Fighter the movie is now streaming for free on Tubi.
Cannonball! All right, I'm sorry. Now we can get on with the Microsoft suckfest, dude.
Yeah, let's do it. Because,
fucking
wow,
suckfest over here.
This is like, what do you call? Like, this is like the Lannisters winning. It feels like...
Let's not say things we don't mean now.
Yeah, see, so Microsoft won finally, huh? The pettiness has finally paid off legally, and Microsoft can acquire Activision Blizzard. What? They have made a 10-year deal with PlayStation for Call of Duty to stay on Sony machines for the next fucking decade. And, of course, rumor from the Twitter source is that Sony was given the option of either 10 years of Call of Duty exclusively or 5 years of all Activision franchises. And considering the money bags at stake, they went for the former. So, yeah. It's also actually been leaked from court transcripts that Nintendo got a special deal in which they get 10 years of multiple Activision franchises on Switch and future hardware. So...
That's
fucking
cute.
A separate suit known as the gamer suit is actually being sent to the Supreme Court right now for review. So there is still some chance it'll fall through, but the gamer suit has also been struck down numerous times, so don't hold your breath. It looks like they got this one in the bag. What do you guys think? Huh? Microsoft did it?
I'm sad.
What's that?
I lived for the pettiness.
It's pretty good.
I am also a little bit surprised that, like, Microsoft had enough balls to give Sony that type of deal. That's a little intense. Because I did read a report, too, that said that, like, the next Spyro, the next Crash Bandicoot, it's not going to be on PlayStation, which is crazy to me.
It's not. No, yeah. That's what I read also.
Because of that deal. So.
Yeah, Sony went for 10. They could have got for 5 and got the other ones, but they know their shit. They want the money.
Apparently, you know.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, James?
I don't care.
You're over it by this point?
Yeah, I don't care.
He's gonna care when Fallout and Elder Scrolls show up on the Xbox.
Nope, dude, don't even care anymore. It's taking too long. I don't care.
You waited too long.
Just don't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm tired of them dangling the carrot in front of my face, dude. I'm tired of it.
I mean, if you've had an Xbox for at any point in the past, like, 5 years, yeah, that's just waiting for any franchise to come from Microsoft, so... We'll see.
I mean, like, legit, the only one I'm bummed about is, like, I would love to play the new Fable. Like, that's it.
God, if they would fucking develop it, yeah.
I mean, they are. That's, like, literally the only game where I'm like, damn, that's the only one that's going to make me go, damn it, I wish I had an Xbox.
Yeah, considering what they've done to Halo and Gears, you know, it's just one of those things. But, you know, with the Activision stuff, the thing that kind of throws me off a little bit is, like, no Tony Hawk on a PlayStation platform feels wrong. That doesn't feel right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That 1 and 2 remaster was amazing. Or, I'm sorry, the remake was amazing. But, like, after playing it for, like, maybe a month, it just kind of went to the wayside. After you unlock everything and
you're like, that's where 3 DLC would have been nice. Yeah. You know? That would have been good.
I get it. Am I going to lose sleep if I don't get to play the next Tony Hawk on my PlayStation because it's exclusive to Xbox? No, because I'll just wait for Game Pass, if that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Or I always bought these things at discount anyway. Spyro, Crash, all of them. Always got them when it was like $15, $5, you know? Yeah, they're not front and center. So they make a little more sense as Game Pass games, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think Call of Duty was the big one that Sony wanted and they got. So it's going to be funny, though. I'm going to laugh my ass off if, like, let's say this does go down and next year, like, the Call of Duty is still going to be better selling on the PlayStation than the Xbox. That's just going to be funny.
Oh, I think it is. I think that's absolutely going to be the case. And it's going to be more of, like, gamers trying to really reinforce, like, do not take this shit from us.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a PS5 at some point in the next year or so, and I felt compelled to get Call of Duty, I would get it on the PlayStation. Mostly because all of you motherfuckers play it on there. But also, it would be my way of saying, like, this is important to keep things available to a lot of people. It's going to be like Minecraft. Minecraft is for everyone. And it makes more money on platforms that aren't Xbox. So I don't think they're going to get rid of it, you know?
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elder Scrolls will fucking see, though. I feel like Microsoft paid so little for Bethesda, they don't kind of care as much. But this is a 72 billion dollar deal, so yeah. Eh. Anyways, there's more Call of Duty news though, huh? This is actually some really good stuff right here.
This showed the pettiness of Microsoft though. Like the undertone of it. Yeah. So literally the day after the big Microsoft and Activision Blizzard merger, all of a sudden the servers to the old Xbox 360 era Call of Duty titles sprung back to life. The OG Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty World at War, Call of Duty Black Ops 1, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2, all self-revived with insane player counts for 10-plus-year-old games. Actually, at one point, it was reported over this past weekend, when it all went live, that all of these games combined had more people playing them online than Halo Infinite and Battlefield 2042 combined on the Xbox.
Jesus.
So, they fucked up the servers. Microsoft, I should say, when I say they. Mm-hmm. Made it to be like, oh yeah, maybe we'll fix it. Maybe you guys can play a game here or there. And then all of a sudden, once the deal went through, those servers were back like it was playing on the Xbox 360.
Like, they couldn't just turn on a fucking button. They couldn't have turned on one fucking button. Wow.
I think I saw that Black Ops 2, I believe, had over 120,000 people playing over the weekend.
Jesus.
Yeah, by itself.
Right? Okay, so I was reading something else also, like the sales shot up tremendously. People bought them again.
I bet.
I don't even buy it, too. I know. Yeah, I know you want that World at War Zombies mode, dude. That OG back in the day.
No. Yeah, I already have World at War. I have all of these. I mean, I'm not one of those people that want to go play them online I'm not that attached to them. But shit, yeah, if they fix zombies online, then yeah, sure, fuck yeah.
That's, I know, tight. Dude. Yeah, that's something we're going to hear too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? Still, Call of Duty Ghost is still in the grave, and good for it. Anyways, it's a terrible fucking game. They also, there was one other Activision game that got a boost too because it was on the same servers, right? Shadow something?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that. It was all Call of Duty all the time this weekend for me. I saw all over my feed.
There was this old pre Overwatch style game from Activision that actually got revived also because the Call of Duty server switch was turned fucking on. yeah, and I guess runs like fucking just amazing now.
Was it called Shadowfall or something? I think
something actually, like that. Yeah.
Now that you mentioned it, I think I did see something about them rumbling about that for a while.
Yeah. So what you say, James? You gonna play some old Xbox Call of Duty games? What? Huh?
Nah.
Come on. Let's all play together, dude. Let's go. Modern Warfare 1. All the hacks. Be your best friend.
Modern Warfare 2. that 360 one?
That was a good one. Yeah.
I think that was the one that was in the next highest player count after Black Ops 2, I believe.
I mean, that was the fucking classic, dude. That was a good game. Mm-hmm. With the little Spec Ops mode.
I don't have an Xbox, and I'm not going to go run and buy one now that the servers are turned back on.
Right. James will win an Xbox and be like, well, I guess I'm selling this bitch.
100% I would do that.
Yeah, I know you would. I know you would.
I 100% would do that.
You're like, hold on a second. Is that a special edition Barbie Xbox? I'll tell you what. I'm going to hold on to this bitch and see how the value goes up. And that's game time, baby. So,
and basically, by waiting around, I'll just wait until freaking Phil caves and gives me like $1,000 for it.
Oh, you do it too, dude. then Phil be like, anybody want to play Modern Warfare 2 on the 360? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, James, you got this? You ready for this?
Sure. Studies show we are losing games to time. Oh, no. A new study conducted by the Video Game History Foundation has revealed an alarming statistic. Only 13% of games released prior to 2010 can be played today commercially. We're talking to you, Nintendo. The study compares the statistic to the survival rate of silent films and pre-World War II audio recordings. The foundation commissioned the study in hopes of advocating for games to be digitally preserved and available via libraries and other official archives, which Flynn's boys at the Entertainment Software Association are lobbying against.
Oh, those are my boys. Those are my boys, huh?
Citing the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, they are saying that preserving games can lead to, quote, hacking, end quote.
They sound like a bunch of fucking hacks. My boys.
I don't know what your boys are doing over there, Flynn, but...
I don't know, dude. Jerking each other off or something. They're doing Dutch Riders out there while they're signing paperwork.
Your boys at the ESA.
You need to call up Nintendo and tell them to give us some old school games.
Oh, it is the ESA. The ESA's always fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hacking. Okay, yeah.
So basically they're saying that, you know, nowadays video games are the same... Oh, I'm sorry. Video games released prior to 2010... are in the same statistic survivability rate as fucking silent films and World War II audio. Like, that's what popped out to me that I was like, that's fucking crazy, because that was only 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, silent films were what, 30s, 40s even? Or no, before that.
Before 20s. That, dude. 10s, 20s.
Yeah.
That whole fucking thing. Early Dracula, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that software degradation right there is already leading to a lot of Mingon. There's a lot of shovelware, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of shitty silent films that we could probably learn something from if we, like, if we're able to watch them still. Who's to say that any of these shovelware didn't have a good idea that maybe somebody can use? But hacking? They're not going to resell it. They're not being sold.
Yeah, I think that's what the ESA is trying to say, is that if we do make them available for viewing and stuff, people are going to hack them and, like, give them to people for free, which is... dumb, because we do that anyways with emulation.
No, yeah, but... dude, right? They're already... Who's supporting them right now? The fucking eBay overseller, overstock lobby?
Oh, yeah, I bet, dude. Remember that one guy? What was that one guy's name from
Steve,
fucking...
Steve? The guy that sold fucking James's shit?
Cockburn, dude. No, Cockburn. Remember Cockburn with the Resident Evil 1.5?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, that piece Cockburn, of shit. That's right, dude.
That's the kind of guy that's like, I have the only copy and I'm not going to give it to anybody.
Oh, dude. Cockburn was just, he was the fucking ringleader. He was the one ahead of the game. There's so many Cockburns out there now. There's so many Cockburns.
This kind of brings us back to what we've talked about before, though, about how like video games are like they're honestly a kid born 10 years ago or 5 years ago can't play Metal Gear Solid 4 unless he goes and buys a fucking PlayStation 3, right? Like right now, that's two generations ago until. Yeah. You know, the Volume 2 comes out, let's just say, knock on wood. But that's the kind of thing that they're talking about here is that, you know, like, why is that game locked to a fucking, you know, 8-year-old system to where it's available digitally? I mean, you know, even if you can't emulate it, stream it or something or preserve it.
Stream it or something, yeah. I'm with that, actually, because, like,
we can play it.
I get that it's hard to rerun these things, but, like, you know, again, streaming's actually not a bad idea. Just to make it available, and maybe it's not going to get played, but it's not going to get lost either. Like, otherwise, yeah, people are just going to get better at hacking. And you're fucking... They're going to get better at hacking and emulating because they have no other choice. And then you're losing out on revenue there because they're going to... That's going to come to newer systems, too. So...
Yep. There should be some sort of, like, Library of Congress, but, like, for... video games.
Yeah,
if and only they should just keep like a digital copy of like some of the better games. That way, this doesn't happen. Like, you know, The Last of Us, or you know, I don't know, Super Mario 64, games like that. Like
Hello Kitty, Horse Time Adventures, absolutely, all of them. All right, no discrimination there. But I agree with that. I think a Library of Congress style. But you know, all of our congressmen are old as fuck.
Oh yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while. I think.
I said something similar, not exactly that. Like Congress can give a fuck about video games.
Yeah,
they don't even care about women's rights. Woo, what's up, dude? Boom! Now we're getting political. Yes, Senate. Fuck you too, ESA.
Yep, that's right. Abort the ESA. No, only in some states.
Wow! Whoa!
Wow!
Holy!
I thought we were going there.
I thought we were going there.
This is your podcast, we can do it in California, dude.
We can do it in California.
Just pass the buck to Fuente. Be like, yes, this podcast is run by Anthony Fuentes. This is his address. He is currently sweating in a factory. Go get him, please.
My podcast, my choice.
Oh my god! Fucking guy! Wow.
Yeah. Here we go.
You were talking about piracy. What was we doing?
I don't even know anymore.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's move on from the oddly pointed abortion jokes. So, Xbox Gold, no more. Speaking of aborting.
Jesus.
Oh, this is great. After 20 years of service, real late term there, Microsoft is retiring the Xbox Live Gold program and replacing it with Game Pass Core. Boo.
Okay.
Priced the same as Xbox Live Gold, it will give players access to multiplayer and a collection of over 25 games for $10 a month or, the better deal, $60 a year. There are another three tiers that lead up to Game Pass Ultimate now. But of course, pour one out for the OG multiplayer service. This bitch was around for a long, long time.
So now they're Xbox, dude.
Now they're copying the PlayStation Plus tiers, or what?
You bet your ass they're doing it. That's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
If you can't beat them, join them.
I mean, you know, it's not a bad idea. I pay for, like, the second tier, and I don't even touch any of the games that I get for free every month.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Also, honestly, Games with Gold has been kind of shit for the past 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
They've been nothing good. They were Games with Gold, though... I mean, Xbox Live's Gold Legacy, up until the past couple of years, has been a good one. It was a damn good service. The free games they offered, I got introduced to so many franchises because of Xbox Live's Games with Gold. Like, that shit was amazing. But yeah, they really shat the whole bed with it once they decided Game Pass is going to be the priority. So, I mean, it was a long time coming.
Yeah, it sucked once they, you know, released Game Pass. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the last fucking Live game I got, or the gold game I got, you know, like for free. But yeah, this sounds awfully like what PlayStation did with the PS5 when they gave you that PlayStation Choice like collection with like 20 of the best PlayStation games to play on your PS5,
which they've now removed.
They did remove after like a year and a half or 2 years,
which is no longer available.
But most of those are on, like James said, the tiers, if you want
lower tiers. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and again, these, if you look at the games on the tiers, like, it literally is, it's, you're just paying $60 a year to play, like, Microsoft first-party titles, essentially. So, for the price of one full-price game, you get, like, you know, a bunch of Microsoft games, like Doom Eternal, Halo, well, Gears, all
the stuff. Yeah, and they kind of, they streamlined it, which I'll give them credit for. Like, this is, I honestly, this is what Game Pass should have been when it first launched, because... Mm-hmm. You had to pay for Game Pass, and then you had to pay for Xbox Live to play online. So they were separate.
Yeah.
And I think Ultimate was the only one that combined them at the time. Mm-hmm. But now they're making it as the entry level, like, replacing it now to where, okay, you want to play online? Here you go. And, oh, you're going to play online? Here, we'll just throw in 20 fucking free games for you to play, which is fine. I mean, I don't think anyone's ever going to complain about that.
Yeah, they're still going to rotate, too. They're not going to be just stuck with these 25 games. I'm sure some of them will never leave, just like Game Pass. But I know they're even said in the press that, you know, some are going to rotate in and out. So, you know, you get Game Pass Lite, essentially.
I just want to say, I want to give a shout out to the OG Microsoft Xbox original.
Oh, yeah.
Xbox Live, where you bought the box and it came with a card and it came with that fucking sick ass wraparound headset.
Damn.
For like $50, dude, back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Like the Halo 2 days back in the day right there.
Oh, yeah. They don't make them like that anymore.
Mm-mm-mm. Even the Xbox 360 Xbox Live was, like, worth it. It was good for the time. Oh, yeah. For what it was. Yeah.
Yep. Those original Call of Duty lobbies were amazing during the Xbox days. Dude.
You know, when it's about getting canceled, dude, the amount of shit that I heard in those fucking chats back in the day, oh, Jesus Christ.
That was like my welcome back to Call of Duty, because I hadn't bought one in a while, and then Modern Warfare 2, this new one came out, and within seconds of being online, I got called a racial slur, and I was like, yep, this is Call of Duty, it's back.
Hey, was it, which Call of Duty was it where that fucking Australian guy fucking called you
That was Modern Warfare.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it wasn't the OG ones?
Yeah, it was the original Modern Warfare.
Oh, Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty 4, yep. Modern Warfare, yeah.
Yeah, the original Modern Warfare was...
Fucking just random, just joined a lobby, and this fucking Australian was like, Escobar, you an American? And James was like, yeah, man. Ah, you fucking wanker. Yeah. Or whatever. He called him some type
of because he kept saying my name over and over again. I was like, I don't want to engage with this guy. He kept doing it, and I was like, all right. And I finally said... What's up, man? And he's like, are you an American? I was like, yeah. And he's like, ah, you fucking wanko.
And that was it. That was all he said to him. Oh. But then,
like, after that, we, like, played a lot together, and I ended up adding him, and he was actually a cool guy.
Dude, okay. See, that's the thing. I had one shared Xbox Live account. My Xbox Live account, obviously, had been live for years. But my brothers would still play, but they didn't want to pay for their own, so they would just use mine and add their friends and people they met in Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 1 in particular, or Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, I had all these people just, like, invite me to shit while I'm trying to play Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, it was good times, though. It has a good legacy. Game Pass Core kind of sounds fucking lame comparatively, but, you know, maybe...
Yeah, I don't know, their marketing team needs to be fired for that one, because that's just a terrible...
Should have been called Game Pass Gold. Come on, dude.
Right?
Yeah, what the fuck? That's a great idea.
I'm trademarking that. Microsoft, you're trying to take that. I'm suing you.
Oh, Game Pass Silver? I guess gold is a little premium sounding.
It used to just be called Silver and Gold. Mm-hmm. Silver was like you just had an account, but you couldn't play online. But gold was like, gold was the... I don't know anyone who had silver.
No, so silver was like... I mean, if you had silver and you tried, they saw that, you just looked poor.
Oh yeah.
Your gamer tag looked fucking poor, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
Ooh, also one more OG Xbox Live memory. Just got to say, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Just one of those small communities that everybody fucking figured out who you were, who you were good, loved each other. It was just good shit. I did lose three of my teammates in one major match with one round left, and I took out the entire goddamn horde. I still remember the message I got from some rando right afterwards. Like, dude, I wish I would fucking recorded. That was the best shit ever. Holy shit, you should add me. We should be running these things. And then I just didn't reply to it.
That guy was all hyped. He made his day, and you're like, I'm not responding to that.
I'm like, oh boy. I got this UC Davis, baby.
So, Jesus.
Yeah, that's Xbox Live for you.
Speaking of the last days or the last hurrah of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? So,
Assassin's Creed Red. Is this going to be the last hoorah of the Origins formula? Question
mark. Is that the intro to our leaky rumor mill right there?
We're moving over to leaky
rumors. Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah.
You're just going to...
Yeah, my bad. I jumped the gun, guys.
Good.
Sorry. Yeah.
That was really good. You just leaked right away, huh?
Apparently, this is my last hoorah on this fucking podcast as well.
I think it's all of our last hoorahs. I think Fwen got us canceled.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Please.
Last game of the season. Better not hold anything back now.
Nothing you won't hear in a if you download one of the Modern Warfare fucking games now and go into that lobby. I'm just saying.
That's very true.
Just saying right now, just do it. It's going to be way worse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let me apologize, people. We're now moving on to the leaky rumor mill.
Yeah.
And so, Assassin's Creed Red. Damn, it's hard to say. Assassin's Creed Red. I'm sorry. I was going to say Cree-read. This will be the last hoorah of the Origins formula? All right. So, and an exclamation mark. Exclamation mark, question mark.
Formula!
Yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Exactly, all right. Who put a goddamn exclamation mark in front of the pump? So, following the October release of Assassin's Creed Mirage later this year, October, the next big Assassin's Creed set in feudal era Japan will reportedly be the last one utilizing the quote-unquote Origins formula. Is it time? Jesus Christ.
Cancel yourself, you fuck. Read it out loud.
Oh. What? What? Oh, because there's another exclamation mark?
I'm not going to fucking... Oh, God, just read it.
Oh, because I see what you... All right, my bad. Is it time for the action RPG elements to harikiri themselves after 2024?
God.
I'm shook after fun, dude. He got me fucking...
No, it shouldn't. They shouldn't do it.
Yeah, they should. Actually.
There's no honor. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we're canceled. This is it.
Someone else go, please. I'm going to keep doing these jokes.
I think it's time, dude. It's time. They had their day in the sun. Valhalla was too long. Odyssey was fucking too long. Let's fucking streamline it. Let's streamline it and get back to, you know, some fucking story or something.
God, I don't know, man. Can't we just have them as side games? Can't we switch off every year and give me one of these motherfuckers and then give me, like, a more focused Assassin's Creed? Like, they have so many studios at Ubisoft. Just let us have one epic-ass origin-style game in Revolutionary Times America. I just want that one game. Please?
We had that. It was called Assassin's Creed 3.
No, but it's not like this. Like, it's not the fucking same. Ugh. I don't know. I have a soft spot, man. I mean, honestly, Origins, despite Valhalla being kind of whatever to me, like, Origins and Odyssey to me are fantastic games. And that we only get two at that caliber is, even though they're, you know, they're fucking long. You get it.
See, to me, Origins and Valhalla were good. Odyssey was just way too fucking long for me. And I'm not gonna lie, Valhalla was long as fuck too, but it was just the fact that I loved that setting so much in the beginning that I was like overpowered for the story missions where I just kind of was able to run through it after I was super high level, not high anything else.
Yeah, you know how to get through it, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, when I was high enough level, I just pretty much just ran story mission to story mission. That shit still took me like 70 hours to complete, dude. It was ridiculous. Like,
it's just sitting in my freaking archive of games right now. Now I'm with you on that one, But I don't know. See, I think Odyssey had the opposite issue where, like, it started off so slow because you didn't really have shit. But the, like, special abilities and things that you get, it got better and better as the game progressed. And it really started hitting its stride once you get to the last half of the story. So... Yeah, I don't know. Odyssey to me was a fantastic game, but until Origin's still the most like polished, I would say. I don't know. What do you think, James? Your open world game's gone?
I like the style that it's in now because, as I've said on this podcast, I am not the stealth guy, so I would like to just kill whenever I want to. So that's kind of a bummer. But you know, if they do it, I don't know. I'm worried that they're doing feudal era Japan because, like, I think Ghost of Tsushima just kind of ruined that genre for everybody else.
I agree with you on that one, though. How are they gonna do a better game than that within the same tried formula? They need one more.
Well, I don't think they can touch Ghost of Tsushima's stance and, like, actual combat gameplay, because that shit to me is just, like, if they're ever gonna do a sequel, it's like, how the fuck are you gonna, like, make that better, because that was like totally just the ease of taking on fucking 10 guys at one time and being able to utilize all your gadgets and stuff, the one thing that I will say Assassin's Creed can probably one up them on is the stealth element of it, because that was a little light in Ghost of Tsushima.
It was like non-existent, which is
It was like it was super super light to where like it's there, and if you wanted to utilize it you can, and if you wanted to utilize it, it was like really really, it made the game too easy to where you're like, all right, I'm done sneaking.
It was they gave you stealth tools, but they didn't, it wasn't stealth. Like, you, I mean, you could still assassinate people, but it was like, Here you are with this katana, go fight everybody, but we're going to be able to let you disappear into smoke. So you just become overpowered by using all those tools, the stealth tools that were,
Yeah, and you get to enjoy the best part of the game with that kind of aspect. That makes sense. Okay, so I guess Assassin's Creed can kind of... You know, and Ubisoft makes a really good open world, too, so... I see it, but I still think they got one more in the chamber. I don't know.
The open world of Ghost of Tsushima, I don't think was bad. I loved it. The whole, like... You don't see a fucking marker. You get guided by the wind, and you can just kind of take off and go find stuff for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then if, like, there's... What were they? Little fucking yellow canaries would fly by you, and they would lead you to secrets. That is, like... That's streamlined... Or I shouldn't say streamlined, but that's, like, immersive type of open world, right? Where you can just kind of take off and be like, hey, there's a big-ass fucking tower over there. Let me go look at it. And then all the way, you can get sidetracked, and you can do a fucking haiku, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just sitting there and being able to go into hot springs and, like, reflect on your life. Like, it was just those, like, quality of life things that you could do in the game that just made it that huge experience. It wasn't just, like, you know, go here, kill these people, go here, kill these people. There was so much, like, to enjoy about the environment, everything going on. And I think that's what... I don't think anybody else is going to be able to replicate that
anywhere
near as good as Sucker Punch did. So
I mean, Sucker Punch is a high caliber fucking developer right there. So, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, they did Infamous too, right? Yeah.
They did Infamous and then did Sly Cooper and they did Ghost of Tsushima. They don't have any misses.
Hey, zero. Hey, look, man, all right. They're okay.
Listen, it. All right, I forgot about all those games. All right, but still, I don't want to be wrong.
All I'm saying is they're not Rockstar. They're not Naughty Dog. They're good, but they're not.
Sucker Punch is on Naughty Dog's level. What are you talking about?
Nah, dude. Nah.
Oh, this is good.
That's right. I said it.
Damn.
I'm sorry, dude, but no Infamous game is anywhere near as good as the GTA games. Prove me wrong.
Infamous 1 and 2 were way better than fucking First Son or whatever it was called. Just FYI. But still.
Yeah, I know that.
Those ones were good. No, you know what was funny, though, is that people were talking about... I remember when Ghost of Tsushima came out, because it did hit everyone out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how, like, it's a evolution of open world things to do, because you don't... Mm-hmm. What's the Ubisoft formula? Go to a camp. Clear out the camp. Go to the watchtower. Open up the map, right?
Yeah, and level up, get a weird little fucking perk, and
all that shit. Ghost of Tsushima wasn't like that. It's like, go do this fucking haiku where you're like the guy, like you could say like, I am Wata in the waterfall, and then like it's just fucking like you get a haiku, and then as your reward, you get like a fucking bandana, and you're like, all right, that's what's up, dude. Fuck yeah, let's get some more of that going on, you know? Or
see, like that the way you describe the formula again, it's like an Elden Ring, it's like a Tears of the Kingdom, it's like not generally the same kind of checkpoint, do your thing, open world. Those are like steak, though, all right? Sometimes we need a couple cheeseburger-style games. They're very easy. We just want to, like, you know, point somewhere and dick around.
Yeah, and boy, oh boy, is Ubisoft that fucking order taker for us.
Mm-hmm. They got the assembly line, everything in the back, dude. And James knows those up, the McDonald's experience right there. That's what Ubisoft does.
I don't know what the hell you just said. But yes.
That's okay. Well, we'll see how this if the formula goes away. But all right, we got another remaster.
Speaking of the superior Naughty Dog, Last of Us 2 remaster is apparently on the way and was leaked by the game's composer. In a recent Spanish interview, Last of Us composer Gustavo Santaolalla? Yeah, sure. May have let it slip that Naughty Dog is preparing for a remastered version of the sequel. Gustavo told the interviewer that in the new version of the game, players will be able to come up to his character and request a song for him to play. He ended the interview saying he can't say anything beyond that. apart from just ruining the whole game coming out.
So I didn't know he was actually in the game, in the original Last of Us 2 game. I didn't know that. He's in Jackson, which is like the starting area, right? Yeah. So I guess, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you haven't played this game, go play it. But yeah, there's a starting area called Jackson, which is from Last of Us 1 as well. But in that intro section, he's in there, like, just chilling on, like, with a guitar or something. So I guess he said now that in the remastered version, you're going to be able to go up to him in the guitar and, like, I don't know what kind of songs he can play. He just said you're going to ask him to play some songs. So that's kind of weird.
Him revealing that the game is coming out and then saying he can't say anything beyond that is like Chris Farley in Wayne's World. They're going to take I-5 and then he's going to circle back around. He's like, I'm sorry, I wish I could give you more information.
Oh, it's like the guy in The Simpsons where he's like, I certainly should have said it's illegal. Oh, it's too hot today.
Yeah. No, this is interesting, but I also kind of get it. I mean, they did that with it took them a lot longer to do Last of Us, the remastered of that or whatever, but I'm kind of curious if they're going to do what they did with the first one, or if they're just going to, you know, completely just up the graphics for PlayStation 5 and the new Xbox, which is going to be a win anyway, because that game is amazing, so...
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like a lot of people criticized the Last of Us 1 remaster, right? Because there wasn't enough change gameplay-wise, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it did only come out, like, literally a year after the first one came out on the PS3. Because the PS4 came out at the tail end of... The Last of Us came out at the tail end of the PS3 lifecycle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the PS4 launched, and yeah, you can play it backwards compatible, but like I think like literally a year, maybe a year and a half later, they announced the remastered version.
Mm-hmm.
And they upped the graphics and all that. Well, I shouldn't say up the graphics, they upped the frame rate.
Remodeled, they changed some of the models too, didn't they?
They gave them more polygons here and there, but what's weird is that they already released a PS5 patch for The Last of Us 2, I believe in 2021.
Oh.
So it's already like, that's how I played it is, you know, I played it on the PS4 and then it kind of got on the back burner. And then I replayed it from beginning to end on the PS5 with those, you know, that patch. And it felt like a PS5 game. It didn't look like a PS4 game at all. Huh. So what they're going to do with this is, you know, if they add more stuff, maybe they're going to fucking slap in the multiplayer with it, and that's going to be their big addition, quote unquote, which is
that'd be interesting. Yes,
yeah,
but that'd be, I guess, more of a selling point. I remember a lot of criticism online for the lack of new stuff besides, you know, a facelift, so I think they may take that into account, and probably a good thing to hold over and get some extra money while they're trying to do some other games. So, you know, they just do this shit sometimes. So,
They're going to charge $70 for it, dude. I guarantee it.
That's definitely going to happen. That's absolutely going to happen.
You know who doesn't do that? Sucker Punch, dude. Sucker Punch charges you $10 for a director's cut.
It's got you there.
I guess.
Oh, well, back to the Ubi train. Far Cry North Korea edition? What?
Jesus.
I know. 4chan and Reddit sources have revealed a comprehensive leak for Far Cry Rise, tropical resort island in the Yellow Sea that gets overtaken by the North Korean army. I'm going to drink this water real quick.
Yes. He mentions North Korea and he's already poisoned, dude.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Shouldn't have leaked it. Anyways. The game will star Squid Game actor Lee Jung Jae as the primary antagonist and features full campaign co-op as well as a conquest mode where squads of 3 players will engage in story missions with up to 90 other players or AI squads on the map if there are not enough players.
Okay.
That's interesting. I think that last part is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you guys feel about Far Cry? Is it something you guys play frequently at all or no? I missed six completely.
I played the first two, and then I kind of fell off, and I started playing 3 because it was part of the games for the PlayStation tiers or whatever, and it was going pretty well so far. But again, like I put it down because there was other stuff I had to play first. But yeah, I haven't played the full series. I've seen the newer ones and they look good. I forgot, I think it was 5 where you can have a little chicken buddy.
Yeah, five was good actually. With
the bear, so I had the bear too. I think six was the one with the fighting cock, dude. Yeah. Okay, five. With the fucking razor blades on his leg.
Yeah, that's right. That okay, six. Five had the bear. Five had the bear.
Either way, it looked fun and funny. So you know, I haven't played the full series, but you know, all
right. I played them. I played one. I think I messed around in two. That was the Africa one.
Yeah, three was hard.
The one. Yeah, three was the one where it went into like back to the tropical island with the boy, Nacho from
Michael Mando.
Yeah, so that one I remember I was playing it and I remember being like, man, this fool's fucking good in this shit. And then like I never beat it. Just like I said, dude,
did the same shit. I did the same
Ubisoft,
shit.
It's the Ubisoft formula where it's like, oh, you want to go to that section? You better go to that watchtower and open up the map. And it's like, God, here we go again.
Like it's good for like the first 15 hours.
Yeah,
15 and then is like, great.
Yeah, and then you're doing the same thing again and again, and I'm like, come on, Ubisoft. But four I never really got into, but that had, actually, that had Troy Baker as the villain, I believe.
Yeah.
And then five had, like, that whole Americana cult type of, you know, like, religious cult thing. I actually beat five. I liked five.
Dude, five and the world in five was great. Montana?
Yeah.
Like, Montana was good.
I liked it because it gave me Red Dead vibes and the fact that it's, like, more so than the other ones, at least to me, I was, like, always on my toes of, like, I'm fucking sneaking up on a base, but, oh, God, there's a goddamn mountain lion behind me.
Yeah.
So.
Or the militias were vicious, too, just roaming around and shit.
Yeah, yeah, the fucking getting dive-bombed by planes and shit. So, yep. I beat 5, I liked it. 6, I bought, and I got it, I was playing it, but then, again, the Ubisoft formula, and they just added some shit that didn't need to be in there with a whole, like, armor equipping and stuff that I was like, man, I just want to shoot things.
How was our boy Gustavo in that one, though?
He was crazy, isn't he? Yeah, he was good. Like I'm saying, all the villains are fucking slappers since 3.
Yeah, I agree.
So, if they're gonna put the Squid Games fool in there, that'd be interesting to see him as a villain. He hasn't been a villain yet.
No, he's a hero, dude. Yeah, that's what's trying to throw me off also. But, I mean, at the same time, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I have a very similar relationship with Far Cry 3. Michael Mando was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
like he was really good in that role. But man, you can only carry the game so far. That's the unfortunate part. 4, I dropped it even quicker. 5 was the shit though. I don't know, something about 5 clicked a lot. And 6 I didn't even buy because for fear of the burnout that comes with all this.
Yeah, I bought 6 for like $20. I didn't buy it full price. Definitely didn't. But it went down quick.
Yeah, I would say maybe when 6 is like $10, I'm gonna go for it for sure. But also I gotta say too, very underrated game. Not quite the Ubisoft formula. It's more just hard. Like it's just a vicious fucking game.
Yeah, I've always heard that Far Cry 2 is a very different type of Far Cry.
Yeah, it's still open though, so it's a weird, like, they don't make them like that anymore. But that's a relic of, like, you know, 360 era gaming.
Yeah.
They don't really do games like that, you know? It's just how it is. Okay, I mean, North Korea, give it to me. That's fine. I might consider it, depending on what the reviews were like. Far Cry's always been that, you know? 5 had good reviews. They lived up to it. 6 didn't. 4, whatever. And, you know, kind of reflected that, to be honest with you. So,
if there's not a parody of James Franco and Seth Rogen in that, trying to talk to the dictator, I don't want it.
That'd be a great mission, dude. That'd be a fucking amazing mission. All right. All right, well, that's done. Let's see. What are you playing, guys? What are you playing? I'll just pop in here real quick, because mine's the same shit. I'm actually progressing in Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I just decided to focus on shrines, and I'm having a fucking blast. I got time off for, like, 2 days, which is fantastic. So, been chipping away at this, and again, Tears of the Kingdom's just going to always be just on the back burner, I guess. Also, Halo Infinite did bring back Infection Mode, which is fun as fuck.
I haven't got to play it.
I'm still annoyed that 343 and Microsoft don't know how to put this in front of people's eyes. It's so shitty, because Halo Infinite, as much as I talked shit out in the past, it's actually a good fucking game. Great mode. It's going to definitely hold me over until Firefight comes, which, when that happens, oof. Ooh. We're signing on, we're playing Firefight. That's what's going down. Yeah, we're doing that.
If it comes, dude, you don't know that if it's coming
on,
or not.
Come on. I thought it was coming. No?
All right. I haven't heard anything about it, but...
Oh, whatever. Okay, cool. All right, James, what are you playing?
I'm not actually playing anything right now. Per our boys at Diablo request, I am taking a break.
Mm.
By the time this episode comes out, the new season will have already been underway, but I will also be at Comic-Con, so I am not going to be able to play the new season until I'm assuming this episode comes out. So I'm just taking a break. You know, I have a lot of focus on work right now and writing and my schedule for Comic-Con, so I just really haven't had the time to play, but I will be playing the new season, so catch me on that.
All right, we'll get the updates when James is ready to jump back in.
Yeah.
All right, Cordova, what you got?
I'm still trying to beat the fucking campaign of Diablo because
Yeah, no, he didn't heed his advice back then, dude. Power through.
I'm trying.
He's gonna help you.
Every time my fucking cutscene was on, my cutscene kept getting cut off because these fools were already like fucking halfway through the dungeon, just wrecking everything. I couldn't concentrate. I'm like,
now you're by yourself, dude. Look what you did.
Oh, dude, what a fucking noob.
and they actually they released the first big patch.
Oh yes, I saw
and
that.
And they got rid of power leveling, so. We wouldn't even be able to help Alex, basically. Like, you would have to be right next to us. Otherwise, you don't get experience. Like, you can't sit at the dungeon door while we go wreck everything.
That's like, a suck.
Which is, I don't understand.
It's a fun game. I don't mind playing that game. That's the thing. It's like, I wanted to play it and experience it. It's a fun game, dude.
You do it your way, I do it my way,
sounds
right?
Like a fucking, sounds like a non-grinder noob right there, dude. I don't know about that.
Oh, there's plenty of grind left in that game. Yeah. I'm doing that. And also, I dipped the toes on the Steam Deck with the whole Alan Wake, the OG one that's super upscaled and all that shit. I didn't get the remastered. It came out on the PS5, but I want to touch on the old school one, you know, the OG one. So
yeah, okay.
I'm messing around with that one. I'm like, yeah, I can see now why it's not Max Payne. I mean, it's a thing. I get it. It's like a, you know, there's a niche to it.
It's like a Stephen King game. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, weird. I get it. Yeah.
I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not great either. Just like,
it's too short for what I think it is.
Yeah.
It's the only issue I have with it. But, you know, otherwise it's fine. A little repetitive, but it's a good game. Yeah. All right, well, it's win time. Gaming win of the month so far, for me, pretty obvious. It's Microsoft doing a red wedding using the U.S. judicial system to get their way. You know? And I just got to give them credit where credit's due. They did it. They fucking did it. Congratulations. We'll see if it actually pays off. Like, this actually, anything good comes from this? I don't know. Possibly. But they have shot themselves in the foot a lot. This particular month, they didn't. So, there you go. That's my win. That's my justification for that. All right. What about you?
To add to the Microsoft stuff, I would say Microsoft and Sony playing nice in that Call of Duty deal. You know, now, even though we were laughing hysterically at all the pettiness, I'm kind of glad that it's over with. At least for now. Now they can just move on, and I don't know, maybe Microsoft can make some good games finally. Who knows?
Oh, what was it? Shit. Me, myself, and Irene, it's like, for now, fucker. That's how I feel, these two coming at each other. But okay. Yeah. All
right. So my win, actually, is one that was originally going to be a news story, but there was way bigger and better news stories. But the PC version of Master Chief Collection just dropped a big-ass update with some lost assets straight from Bungie and 343. So some very dedicated emulators pretty much found some files, and they're like, hey, you know, they sent an email to 343, who has the Bungie assets, and was like, hey, can we use this in a mod? Because it's just sitting there in the game. And they were like, sure, do it. And like, so they're getting like the official backing from 343.
You do the work.
Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. So they added in some, like, I guess, some new enemies, some cool things, and then as well, that's only for the PC version. But the Xbox version is getting this big old update that they did, where you can actually do 8-player firefight now for all the Halos that support firefight. Originally, 8-player firefight was only for Halo 5. So now Halo Reach and Halo 3 ODST can support up to 8 players playing Firefight now, which is awesome, because that's the kind of thing that this game should have been from the get-go. It's like, you know, I know it's too late. It's fucking like, what, goddamn 6 years too late or something. But, you know, just the fact that they're still supporting it and saying, like, you know, we fucked up big. Here you guys go.
They
you
fucked
know.
Up pretty big, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That could have been a system seller, man. Like, literally.
Yeah. You know what? 8-player Firefly sounds fun as fuck. So, oh, that's, yeah. This is the weird win for the month. It's all fucking Microsoft. That's usually our fail. Okay. So. Cool. All right. Well, my fail of the month is attempts to replace voiceover actors with AI. There's a couple mods and a couple proposals being passed around for some very prolific video game voice actors, where people are utilizing their voice and creating new lines or seemingly approaching them to do so. And fuck off. I don't like that. Pay your fucking actors. Pay your actors. You can try to emulate the delivery the best, but it's never going to be as good as the source. Honestly, kind of shitty. And no, if you want to keep innovating in this industry and getting new stories and new talent, you're going to need, you know, to compensate this talent and really put them front and center. And there's keeping them at arm's distance like this and just utilizing their likeness in whatever way all they have. I don't like it. So, yeah, this is actually a pretty big fail for me. And I don't like that it's even in the conversation, but there it is. So, yeah, that's mine.
Look at you doing the good man's fight, Fwen.
It's so shitty.
A working man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Working man's a sucker. Anyways. what you got, James?
I got nothing. I'll just say that your fan is on, and that's my gaming fail.
Well, thank you. Thanks for letting the audience know that. That's good. All right.
They're going to hear it.
That's great.
They're going to hear
it. They could have gotten over it by now, but it's fine.
No, it's fine. It's
good. You're not going to like mine.
Oh, my God. Right, I know. I already know this shit.
It's because it has to deal with your boy, Bobby Kotick.
Bobby Kotick. But
that fool is going to be making bank off that Activision Blizzard deal. Like, he needs any more fucking money.
He doesn't need shit, dude. He's
what is it, like 400? 400 million? Something like that he's making off this deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't even want to put the exact amount, but I'm just disgusted by it.
I'm a little disgusted. He's got enough money for a small country. He should move over there and fucking isolate himself, dude.
Yeah,
buy an island. Fuck off.
Oh, fuck Bobby.
Got it. Can suck my fucking balls, dude. All right. Yeah, that's a fail. Oddly interesting transition here, but we got one absurd headline before we get out of here. Who wants it, or should I take this one?
James found it. One of you guys do.
Let's see. Well, first of all, Bearfucker, do you need assistance? Baldur's Gate 3 leaps up Steam charts after the bear sex reveal. Yep, that's a real headline. Baldur's Gate 3 has rapidly ascended the Steam sales charts after Larian livestream showed a sexual trice between a vampire and a druid in bear form. That's from PC Gamer, and I gotta say, this is, of course, only PC gamers would fucking do this. A bunch of fucking degenerates. They would have modded it anyways. But, yeah. Bear sex reveal, huh?
Bearfucker.
Bearfucker.
Yeah. You need our assistance.
You know what's funny, too, is I think I read also that, like, the pre-orders for that game fucking jumped up when that leaked. That headline.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah, it leads to sales charts, all that shit. So, there you go. Baldur's Gate 3. You're going to be able to... you get all your bestiality dreams out of the way. So, what an interesting episode. All right, so that's it. That's it for the NPC Gaming Podcast. I'll be back in a couple weeks with more summer gaming news, obviously, and then getting ready for the fall. Although August is usually a slow month, we'll see how it goes, but, you know, without Microsoft running a train on everybody, so it'll be fine.
I'm canceled, dude.
We're just going out on this one. Anyways, I'm Anthony Fuentes. This is a production of the Horrible People's Network. You can find all our shows on the network, and you can find us on npc.gaming.pod, and you can find me on the Horrible People's Podcast. It's HORORBLE People's Podcast. The season finale will be airing the same week as this. So, you know, catch us in the fall or whatever. So, with that, James Cordova, you guys hear anything? Where do you find you guys?
Find me having sex with the bear?
Oh, fuck. Someone got a Baldur's Gate 3 pre-order over there.
I don't know. Find me.
Oh, he clicked out. James clicked out.
He said, find me, click.
Find me clicking the wrong thing. That's where you need to find me.
That's not going to work here anymore.
Find me just leaving the podcast for no reason. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, you can sometimes find me on the Horrible People's Podcast. You can also find me on a live D&D play podcast on the Horrible People's Network, which is called Turning Tables. I portray a pirate lord named Siegfried. So check that out.
Noted bearfucker pirate, I get it.
Noted bearfucker pirate who likes to just click the wrong tabs.
Jesus.
That's where I'm at.
Cordova.
Yeah, you can find me nowhere. How about that? No, I'm only here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm only here for the weekends. he's the occasionally
assistant manager of nights and weekends of the Horrible People's Network.
Occasionally, yeah, on the Horrible People's podcast. But yeah, all right. Until they call me.
We got some gaming episodes in the run, actually, so you ain't see us a little bit yet. Yeah, so we're gonna take a trip back to the '90s in season six. You just wait. Wait. Yeah, yeah. Little sneak preview. But anyways, that's it. Catch us in a couple weeks. Adios. Peace out.
Late. Thank you.